Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Nonprofit Coach with Ted Hart, the most listened to internet radio show in the nonprofit sector, dedicated to helping your charity succeed. It's no secret that combining online and offline techniques is the key to modern-day fundraising success, and practical advice is what you need. The Nonprofit Coach with Ted Hart is the perfect landing point to learn from experts around the world who provide advice you can use. Ted Hart is without a doubt one of the foremost nonprofit thought leaders. Also a successful author, his books range from successful online fundraising to the use of social media and how to make your nonprofit green. Guests on the Nonprofit Coach are leaders in their field who share tips and trade secrets for nonprofit management and fundraising success. Ted lectures around the world, but now he's here for you. From the latest in charity news, technology, fundraising, and social networking, Ted and his guests help you and your organization move to greater levels of efficiency and fundraising success. This is a live call-in show. Add your voice by calling 347-324-3080. After the show, you can find all our podcasts at tedhart.com. Click on Radio. Don't forget to dial 347-324-3080. Now, welcome the host of the Nonprofit Coach, Ted Hart.
And welcome back to this latest edition of the Nonprofit Coach. Thank you for joining us. I'm coming to you live from the international offices of CAF America, the Charities Aid Foundation of America. And today is one of our big shows of the year. We have Rob Mitchell here from the Atlas of Giving, and this is all about forecasting. This show is going to help you understand what is the economy looking like, what is your fundraising going to be like. Rob's show is always one of the most popular shows of the year, so hang around and make sure that you are here to ask questions of Rob Mitchell as we get to page two. As the announcer mentioned, this is a live call-in show, so you can call in at 347-324-3080. You can also join us over in the chat room. I see some folks in the chat room. You can also email me your questions at tedhart@tedhart.com. As always here on the Nonprofit Coach, we always start the show with page one news. First up here on page one news, and you can follow along at tedhart.com. Click on radio links. You'll not only see the links for today's show, but all of the Nonprofit Coach radio shows, all the very best links in the nonprofit sector are there. And today you'll find good tips on charitable travel. As we know, our board members and other volunteers may qualify for charitable deductions of unreimbursed travel expenses on behalf of your organization. But what should you be telling them? What are the tips and what does the IRS have to say about this? They have just issued as part of their tax tips a couple months ago some updates, and those are available to you over in the radio links where you should download that and share that with your board of directors so that they make sure that they have the proper documentation and that they are, in fact, taking the appropriate tax deductions for charitable travel to support your organization. Next up here on the Nonprofit Coach, each month we have one of the experts from GuideStar here live on the Nonprofit Coach for our monthly GuideStar Minute. Lindsay Nichols is joining us today from GuideStar. Hey, Lindsay, how's everything over at GuideStar?
It's really great, Ted. Thanks so much for having me here. I really appreciate it.
Well, glad to have you back here on the show always to keep my listeners up to date on what is going on at GuideStar, what should they be doing to maximize their GuideStar strategy, because as my listeners know, in the six pillars of success for nonprofit organizations online, a good GuideStar strategy is number two. So how do we make them succeed?
I love that you talk about it. Yeah, we love that you talk about it. And it's exactly that I wanted to talk a little bit about today. So GuideStar Exchange, which is our free program for nonprofits where they can give us more information about their progress and their growth and their impact. That actually has now been integrated with Charting Impact, which was a standalone program that BBB, Wise Giving Alliance, GuideStar, and Independent Sector had created a few years ago, where we ask nonprofits to answer 5 questions, and the answers get compiled into a report. That was a standalone site, and now it's been integrated into the GuideStar Exchange. So it's really great. You go to one site, GuideStar.org, and you can now talk about so many things, including your transparency and now your impact in a really robust way.
Well, what a big advance, again, adding value to the GuideStar Exchange. We do and have, as you know, for many years on this show, have been promoting a strong GuideStar strategy because of the message that it sends and how that integrates solidly into major gift fundraising and fundraising from corporations and foundations. I see when you speak about the GuideStar Exchange, I see that you now have the gold level, silver, and bronze level. Help us understand the differentiation between those, and obviously as good Americans, we're all striving to be the very best, so we all want gold, but what does it mean to differentiate yourself in those various levels for the GuideStar Exchange?
Absolutely. So, you know, prior to these 3 levels, we had kind of an all or nothing seal program. So if you gave us everything we asked for, we would then give you the seal. And we did a lot of research and found that not all nonprofits have the time and energy to give us everything we ask for. So that's why we have 3 levels, so that no matter what, if you give us something, we will give you something back. And it's essentially broken out into 3 areas. The bronze level is basic information. The silver level is more financial information, and the gold level is impact information. So it layers on. So the silver is basic and financial, and the gold is, you know, basic, financial, and impact. And you get different benefits from us depending on where you are. But no matter what, that kind of bronze, silver, or gold means you are committed to transparency. It really is the symbol in the sector, and we're really proud that you can have different opportunities with us.
Yeah, and really, wow, you must be so excited. You're fast approaching 35,000 charities who have this this designation. Obviously, we want a lot more, but these are 35 of the smartest and brightest nonprofits, obviously, in the United States who have gotten that message. So you must be pretty pleased to be approaching 35,000.
Oh, my gosh. We're so excited, and we have seen quite a jump since we went to the 3 levels. I mean, there really is incentive to give us even just a little bit of information. We do give really good benefits. And, of course, you know, we have 10 million annual visitors to our website. We push out data to millions of others. So it's not just sitting with us. It's going to all the other clients and partners we have. So it's really information that works for you as a nonprofit, and we're thrilled with the growth, and absolutely want even more.
I have one other area that I just want to sort of explore, because, of course, we get the question on this show quite a bit. What about Charity Navigator? And Charity Navigator is a very different animal than GuideStar, but they do excellent work, but they only rate a very small segment of the overall nonprofit sector. So it sort of leaves all of the rest of those charities without the ability to be rated. This is available to everybody, though, right? This is a way to distinguish yourself regardless of whether or not you're one of the largest. You can be any size and show your commitment.
That's exactly right, and that's really why this was designed, so that everybody, it's a kind of a level playing field. Same with Charting Impact. At any nonprofit, regardless of size or revenue or, you know, location, can participate. And we really want to present the best information to donors. We don't make a judgment call, but this symbol, this, you know, gold, silver, or bronze symbol, really does sell people really quickly that you are a transparent organization. So, you know, we encourage people to come to GuideStar.org. We actually changed the whole process, so there's now 8 fields where you're submitting information, so it's a lot more streamlined and hopefully, you know, painless.
Well, Lindsay, it just keeps getting better. We've been sold here on this show of the importance for nonprofits quite some time. I'm so glad that you come back every month and bring us up to date. This is quite important information that you brought to us today on the information about the GuideStar Exchange. So, Lindsay Nichols, thank you again for joining us, and we'll catch up with you next month.
Sounds great. Thank you so much, Ted. Take care.
You bet. That's Lindsay Nichols from GuideStar.org. And, of course, you can go to the radio links today and link directly to GuideStar.org. Next up here on the Nonprofit Coach comes to us from N10, the Nonprofit Technology Network. 10 things to consider before converting your nonprofit's data into a new system. And I know right around this time of year, for those of you who are looking at new budgets and looking at your data, perhaps you've not been particularly happy with your data mapping or your availability for data to make important decisions within your organization. So you may be looking for new software, new opportunities for you to really be able to make use of the core data that you have, historical data that you have. This is an excellent article written by Susie Saxton at Heller Consulting. Comes to us from the N10 Nonprofit Technology Network. Read all about it and become more knowledgeable on this topic over at tedhart.com. Click on radio links. Next up here on the Nonprofit Coach, we always try to bring you the best and the brightest. And HubSpot is now drawing attention to the 9 outstanding nonprofit websites. According to Charity Navigator, we just spoke about Charity Navigators. Roughly 97% of website visitors are in research mode, so your nonprofit's website is not only about making a donation or volunteering, but also is about educating a majority of your visitors. And of the 9 charities that were recognized, number 8 overall, and actually drawn out for number 3 attention on the HubSpot link that we're providing to you today, is the Charities Aid Foundation of America. This is the organization I serve as CEO, and I have my Senior Director of Business Development with me, John Holm. John, thank you for joining us here on the Nonprofit Coach.
Thank you for having me here today, Ted. I appreciate it.
This this recognition has a lot of factors to it, and of course, helping nonprofits understand what you need to do to be able to succeed online and the factors that need to be brought through a website for your donors who are researching or are trying and searching for answers. What does this mean to be recognized in this way, and what do you think it says about the CAFAmerica.org website?
Well, it says two things. First of all, Charity Navigator itself, just to be listed as a top 10 top-notch charity on its own right is fantastic news for our organizations and the rankings and financial accountability, transparency, and results. But as an added bonus, you can take that credibility, transparency, and look at it to the mindset of having it on HubSpot, which is just fantastic. I mean, some of the names that are on here are well-renowned charities and nonprofits doing great good, and it's great for CAF America to get the recognition that it deserves to have.
And some of the other charities that are recognized are Project Cure and Direct Relief, other charities such as Child Aid and the Electronic Frontier Foundation have been highlighted in this this breakout report that is posted over on HubSpot and makes note of the recognition from Charity Navigator. It's complicated to build a website, and a well-designed website that meets its target audience is even harder. What are some of the points that you might share with my audience today as they're looking at either updating or completely overhauling their website?
Oh, that's a great question and great insights. And I think that the key thing that you really have to look at is first defining your nonprofit vision and being able really to communicate that to your various stakeholders, you know, your external stakeholders such as business, such as maybe other individuals in international markets. How do you make a tight message that communicates your social good and also in an up-to-date and relevant manner? And I think that's what thing we've accomplished and really worked really hard on was trying to communicate the value that we provide globally while being able to target in a clear and concise message of how we're trying to meet that mission and have those goals and objectives accomplished through our website.
Well, obviously that is being accomplished with this website and the others that are being noted in by Charity Navigator and in this particular article for all of my listeners that would like to learn and actually get a chance to see the websites that are being recognized here in this report. I think it's terrific to look at a lot of different websites, take a look at what works for you, what doesn't, what you think your audience in particular would like to know about from your website, it is very clear that websites today are not just about doing, but they're also about research. And the voice that you give to your donors by drawing attention to your own work is extremely important. John Holm, thank you for joining us here on the Nonprofit Coach and helping us understand how others can learn from the terrific work being done by CAF America and many other charities recognized in the HubSpot article by Charity Navigator. Thank you, John.
Ted, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Next up here on the Nonprofit Coach, as you folks are planning for your fall appeals, the experts over at the Fundraising Coach and Mark Pittman in specific has posted the secrets behind year-end fundraising fall appeals. And he breaks this down in terms of what you should be doing, when you should be doing it. He gives you a roadmap on how you can make sure that your fall appeals are going to be successful. So make sure that you read all about that over in the radio links today at tedhart.com. With that, I just want to sort of bring you up to date on the horse race. It seems that our two number one shows of all time, as I've mentioned on the show, continue to be the K. Sprinkle Grace Strategic Holiday Show of last December and Penelope Burke's latest Cygnus Donor Research Survey, both garnering more than 14,000 listens, 14,160 for K. Sprinkle Grace, who is now pulled in the lead and close behind. And I think actually 2 weeks ago when we took a look at this, Penelope Burke had pulled ahead by 3 listens. She is now at 14,126. So other top shows, while I'm looking at the list here, if you go to tedhart.com, you can look at the archives of all of our shows. Other top shows for listeners, Jen Filla and Helen Brown's Prospect Research from June of this year, so just a few months back. Last October, we had David LaGreca here on Governance Matters, again, one of the top shows of all time here on the Nonprofit Coach. Greg McHale was with us talking about going mobile, social, and local. That's now in the number 5 most popular of all time shows. So I won't keep you on that list, but in the horse race between K. Sprinkle Grace and Penelope Burke, Kay has pulled in the lead. And, of course, Penelope was just on the show 2 weeks ago, and Kay will be back on the show for our holiday final show in December. So stay tuned and listen from these fine ladies and all the other top experts that we have on the Nonprofit Coach, including today Rob Mitchell, who is going to be joining us in just a moment as our Page 2 expert. Rob Mitchell has invested his 31-year-plus career in the nonprofit world as a fundraising practitioner, nonprofit executive consultant, and now leading two businesses that provide products and services to charities and churches. Rob is currently CEO of Atlas of Giving and Philanthromax. And Philanthromax uses proven techniques from American business to create more financial fuel and greater efficiencies for nonprofits. And the Atlas of Giving, which is our topic today, is pioneering a major innovation for nonprofits. It measures, analyzes, and, very importantly, forecasts U.S. giving month by month, sector by sector, source by source, and state by state. Always very popular here on the Nonprofit Coach. I'm thrilled to have him back. Rob Mitchell, thank you and welcome back to the Nonprofit Coach.
Hey, Ted. Thanks. It's good to be back.
Rob, the Atlas of Giving each year just makes everybody stand up and take notice because of what you learn and all of the wisdom and expertise that you bring to the table when you are opening up your atlas and you're giving us not only a look at what Americans have been doing, but also forecasting as you say, the foremost economic intelligence tool for charitable giving. And we've come a long way from sort of by-the-gut, next-door neighbor kind of fundraising to really being much more strategic, and data of this sort becomes extremely important. So why don't we start, Rob, by giving you an opportunity to, in your own words, describe what is the Atlas of Giving and what does it get at. And then we'll get into some specifics of what you can help my listeners learn from your latest report.
Sure. Well, what we've done with the Atlas is we have identified that charitable giving in the United States is determined primarily by economic, demographic, and event factors. And at the Atlas, what we've done is developed a technology to identify what those factors are for each sector. And we've got 9 sectors, like health, education, religion, and so forth, 4 sources, individuals, foundations, bequests, and corporations, and then by 50 states and D.C. So we have, right now we have 35 specific econometric models that we're using, algorithms, if you will, to measure and forecast charitable giving in the U.S. And Ted, it's a bit like what I would describe the Atlas as. Maybe you or some of your listeners tuned into some of the America's Cup sailing races out on the West Coast a couple of weeks ago. And what we've determined at the Atlas is that you can have the best boat and the best crew in the world, but if you have no wind, you're not going anywhere.
Right.
So what we're forecasting, or what we're, first of all, we're measuring the wind, what direction it's coming from and how fast it's coming, and we're forecasting what that will be in the future. And so that's probably as good an analogy as I can give as what the Atlas is really all about. We're about measuring and forecasting the velocity and trajectory of charitable giving in the U.S.
And who are the charities or the groups, the sectors, if you will, that are most likely to make really good use of this kind of data?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, because what we're doing is we've got our finger on the pulse of the entire charitable giving economy, this is good if you're in a one-person nonprofit or if you're in a multinational nonprofit, because the information contained in the Atlas, you know, the sectors we cover, just as an example, religion, health, education, human services, arts, society benefit, environmental and international, and then another sector that right now is predominantly is predominated by donor advised funds. It's what we used to call our unallocated sector. So if you're in a small shop, if you're in a big shop, you can get information out of the Atlas of Giving that will help you raise more money and do better budgeting in your future.
Well, and that becomes a big part of this, right? I mean, we have an economy that has been volatile, up and down, and we're going to get into your forecasting. There are those that are predicting that there are not great winds ahead. I want to learn more about what you think. But this is a difficult time to budget. This is a difficult time for organizations that maybe have traditionally maybe not been looking for great growth, but have at least been trying to stay ahead of inflation. And certainly here in the United States, we've seen some pullback around the Great Recession and then a small amount of growth. So before we get into the forecasting that you have, can we take a look at what are the totals look like? What's actually happening
Sure.
in fundraising right now? And then we'll after the break, we'll take a look at what the future looks like.
Well, some of your listeners will be delighted at what I have to say, and some are going to be disappointed because 2013, though our beginning of the year forecast did not show this, and our forecast, by the way, is updated monthly, just like a weather forecast has to be updated as conditions change. We are keeping our fingers on the pulse of the things that are driving philanthropy. And so 2013 has been an incredible giving year. Gifts are up 11.9%. Now, this is nationally, and that is through September. This has been, by our measurement, the best giving year since the start of the recession. Just to give you an example, almost $35 billion was given to charities in September. The best sectors, the best performing sectors so far this year have been the environment, human services, and the education sector. And in fact, your listeners might be interested in looking over some things anecdotally. One of the things we noted last year, education was really having a great year in 2012, and that good run is continuing into 2013. And you can Google, gifts to education, record gifts to education for 2012 and 2013, and really find some interesting anecdotal information. Donor advised funds have been on a continuing tear, growing at incredible rates.
Yeah, we've certainly seen that here at CAFAmerica.org. We manage and host donor advised funds for donors that are looking to give domestically, but also internationally, and receive a tax deduction for their international grants, and those continue to grow at very fast pace.
Our slowest growing sectors in 2013, and every sector has been growing and growing nicely, but the slowest growing sector is religion, and that is not a surprise given the demographic reality that fewer and fewer people are attending church and are involved with church on a regular basis. And then the health sector is also growing more slowly than the rest of the sectors other than religion. And we think, though we can't prove it yet, we think that some of that might be, we've got some anecdotal evidence that this might be related to the passage of the Affordable Care Act, believe it or not.
Okay.
We've talked to some people representing health charities that do point of sale promotion kinds of things in retail stores, and increasingly they're getting the message from the retail customers, hey, I don't need to give to your health charity anymore because the government is going to be taking care of everyone. So,
right. So some of that confusion is maybe skewing those results for now, where you might have seen them on a different path?
Yes. That's what we're thinking. That's our best thinking at this point. But I guess, you know, in summary, this is a very exciting giving year. I mean, it's an incredible giving year. And once again, just to remind you and your listeners, each sector, each source, and each state, and each nonprofit organization's results are driven by specific economic, demographic, and event factors. And the factors that drive individual giving include things like the unemployment rate, population, household income, and yet if you look at foundation giving, the things that drive foundation giving have almost nothing to do with unemployment, population, and household income. They're things like the stock market and real estate. So when we look at these individual factors and how they're performing and which sector, which source, and which type of organization might be affected by how those factors are doing.
So right now, this is not a bad time to be in the data collecting and forecasting business. So you don't have as much bad news, at least on the current state of giving, as you might have thought for this year.
Right. Well, I mean, we got good news this morning. The unemployment rate dropped another tenth of 1% to 7.2%. The stock market this year has been on a tear. The S&P 500 through September was up 19.79%. Home prices are up 12% for the year. There's lots of good news out there. If you listen if you listen to the media, sometimes you get a skewed version of how things really are. But there are some very positive signs out there that things are going well. GDP is an example, and most people are probably most of your listeners are well aware that GDP is a significant driving force in charitable giving, and GDP is gaining momentum. GDP growth is gaining momentum. So it's there's some very positive signs this year.
Absolutely, and taking all that into account leads us to the terrific work that you do in forecasting. We're going to be right back from the break, and when we come back, Rob, we do want to get into some of the forecasting and crystal balling that you can see into the future for 2014 so that our listeners can, in fact, benefit from that. And we'll be right back after this break. A few things that we want to draw your attention to is our LinkedIn group, the People to People Fundraising LinkedIn group, has now surpassed 2,500 members. We, in fact, have over 2,530 members, so please join us in our LinkedIn group, and that's called People to People Fundraising. Also, some upcoming notes for the show. Next week, we will not have a live show. That's a good time to catch up on past podcasts, and I just mentioned during page one today the horse race at the top of the all-time favorite shows, and you may want to catch up with some of those. And then we're going to be back on November 5th, and on November 5th, Linda Lysakowski is going to be with us with her new book, and she's going to be helping all of us learn how to fix fundraising, the leaky bucket, what's wrong with your fundraising and how you can fix it. And Linda's an expert in that area and is going to be here to help you out. Also want to draw your attention over on Hootsuite, Hootsuite. They have a webinar on 5 ways to measure success on Twitter. That's, in fact, going to take place on November 5th. Right after the Nonprofit Coach radio show, so you'll be able to have 2-for-1, listen to the radio show at 12 noon, and then at 1 p.m. on that day, 5 ways to measure success on Twitter with Hootsuite. So don't miss that. You can go to hootsuite.com and register for that. And with that, it's time for us to head back to Rob Mitchell and our Page 2 expert.
Remember, our podcasts and archives are always available 24 hours a day at tedhart.com. Click on Radio Links. If you're listening live today, the phone lines are open. Call in and ask a question by dialing 347-324-3080. Now, back to the Nonprofit Coach with Ted Hart.
And we are back here live on the Nonprofit Coach. Our Page 2 expert is Rob Mitchell from the Atlas of Giving. You can call in and ask a question or email your question to tedhart@tedhart.com. Rob, welcome back. Can you now help us understand how do you do forecasting? What do you look for? And then what are you seeing? Rob, it would help if I turned on your microphone. So 1 second, I'm going to do that, and then we can go ahead and get started. We're ready to go. Your microphone's back on. That was my fault there, Rob. Sorry about that.
So I'm hot. That's good
you're
to know.
You're hot. You're live now. Sorry, that was all my fault.
Several things are involved in the forecast. The forecast, obviously, we've got to know what factors we're dealing with in each of the giving sector sources and states, and in some case with individual organizations, and event factors. Just as an example, this year, if you remember in January, the charitable extended for 2 years, that obviously can have an impact. And we still have an increasing number of 501c3 organizations being created. Things like the Colorado floods, as an example, affect giving. We've talked about donor advised funds. The trend in online giving is also important, more and more gifts being made online. So we look at the factors, and those that have reliable forecasts, we incorporate those forecasts. We work with other experts in those areas. I am not an expert on forecasting stocks or forecasting GDP, but those people are out there, and those are the people that we consult with to build our forecast based on what our formulas tell us are the factors that are involved in each of these areas of charitable giving.
So you take those forecasts into consideration as you're looking at the specific philanthropic forecasting?
Absolutely. Have to.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Where does that take us?
Well, I think most of your listeners will be very interested specifically now in what the year-end giving forecast is shaping up to be for October, November, and December of 2013. And what we're showing is an average for national giving for year-end for those 3 months as compared with the same 3 months last year is giving will be up this year-end 11.5% over 2012.
You said this is an incredible. How does that relate to some of the best figures that you've seen in the past? Is this one of the better years?
This is one of the better years, and in recent history, one of the things about the Atlas is we went live in 2010, but we used our technology and our formulas to rebuild the history of charitable giving going back to 1968 by sector, source, and state. And yes,
and I remember you saying, and correct me if I'm wrong, that while you had taken a look at the Giving USA report, there were actually some changes you felt were needed there to get to accurate year-over-year numbers.
Yeah, and I think accurate might be a stretch for anyone to talk about related to measuring charitable giving. With more than 1.5 million nonprofits, 501c3s in the United States, there's never going to be an accurate, timely database and an honest database of the gifts from all those churches and charities incorporated in one place. Just not going to happen. So the kind of technology that the Atlas is using is the same technology that's used to do things like hedge funds or big predictive national numbers like retail sales. And that's the same kind of technology that we're using in the Atlas. The distinguishing feature for us is, again, our benchmark is agnostic. So we're not influenced by something that might come out on the front page of the Chronicle of Philanthropy where somebody says, well, it can't possibly be that good because our big organization isn't doing that good. That doesn't influence us at all. So we've got an agnostic benchmark which is more focused on. It's kind of like a ruler. You don't want to have a ruler where today an inch is one length and tomorrow an inch is a different length. You want to have consistency in your ruler. So we've created a consistent ruler for our measurement. Other organizations are changing their methodology based on how things happen. And again, I'd like to stress that what we're interested in is focusing on the velocity and the trajectory of gifts. Where are gifts going, and how fast are we getting there? So that's really a significant difference for us. And today, we have the only reliable charitable giving forecast available.
Mm-hmm. One of the recent reports that came from the Association of Fundraising Professionals seemed to indicate, there are fewer donors, but they're giving more. So charities are losing the numbers of donors. Does that show up in your methodology at all, or is that not part of the forecasting?
It really isn't a part of the forecasting, but that kind of anecdotal information is affirming or reaffirming to our calculations. So that is not a surprise to us, because as we look, as an example, at the growth, the tremendous recent growth in giving in donor-advised funds and in large gifts to the education sector, those kinds of things are making a big difference. And then you've got other anecdotal evidence that suggests that, you know, there are, as technology replaces people in the workplace, there are fewer people out there that are actually have an earned income by which they can make charitable gifts. And those that do tend to be on the upper income scale or upper wealth scale. And so that's, you know, I have no disagreement with those findings whatsoever.
I'm just wondering if you're seeing any trending here as to, is philanthropy becoming more sort of democratic, meaning broad-based, or is it becoming more large gift elitist?
There's some of both happening. The trends that we are noting is a movement toward things like donor advised funds and larger gifts on the part of some. But we're also noticing a move to online types of delivery methods for gifts as opposed to, say, direct mail. And the current generation coming along, our new generation of givers, is they're interested in different things than the older generation was. And just as an example, younger givers are more focused on accountability and results. So they tend to move more towards niche organizations that have a very specific focus and very accountable results, as opposed to donors who are my age or older, who tend to focus on brand names and past success and you know, seals of approval and such things. So they're more interested in results.
I've been hearing that trend. I mean, that message has come up here on the Nonprofit Coach for, I would think, that the last several guests, it ultimately ends up sort of coming back around to a potential difficulty for larger, as you said, sort of name brand or maybe legacy brands, that those are the ones that are not going to necessarily see the growth patterns. But charities perhaps that are maybe smaller, more nimble, more impactful, more donor-connected are the ones that will see a bright future. Is that in any way forecastable, or are you seeing that in your data?
We're seeing that in the data. I would say the difference, Ted, would be for a large organization who understands this dynamic is taking place and makes arrangements to take advantage of it. So it would be a large name brand national charity who recognizes that their former way of doing things is not producing the same kind of results it once did, and growing their donor base and diversifying their donor base in the way that they would like, they can create their own niche organizations to take advantage of those kinds of things. And those are the organizations
that
I think
we saw that in the for-profit sector in terms of, you know, sort of smaller niche brands. So do you think that that's part of the strategic answer for charities to make sure that they're connected to their donor base?
Well, as a wearing my practitioner hat, I would say absolutely. There's no doubt about it. That is something that every, as you call them, legacy organization really ought to be looking hard at.
That's great. So so we're seeing a very good 2013 versus 2012, almost every sector with exception of, did you say religion and healthcare, are lagging but still doing relatively okay versus inflation?
versus inflation, everyone's doing great, because even religion, which in 2013 so far has grown at 7.7%, inflation's only running about 2% right now. So that's those are good numbers. And other than religion and health, everyone else should be in the double. Every other sector is in double-digit growth figures. And you know, just as an example, the environmental sector is up more than 17% this year.
Very good numbers for environment. We're going to take a really quick break. When we come back, Rob, can we take a look at 2014 and see what that forecasting is going to look like?
I would love to talk about 2014. I'm not sure everyone's going to like the answer.
Well, hold right on, and we'll see if they will or they won't. Come back right after the break. We'll be back in 1 minute, 30 seconds.
Every day, millions of people are online, many of whom want to help, volunteer, and donate to a good cause. Nonprofit organizations can use many Google tools to reach potential donors around the world and raise more money. And as an approved nonprofit, it doesn't cost a thing. It's all free. Google Grants helps you promote your website with free advertising on Google.com through the AdWords program. With Google AdWords, you create ads and choose words or phrases related to your nonprofit organization. When people search on Google using one of your phrases, your ad will appear next to the Google search results under the sponsored link section. AdWords allows you to target certain geographic areas, dates, and times of day for your ads to appear. YouTube for Nonprofits is another tool that can boost donations to your organization. The program offers a number of perks that get your message out there and drive viewers to take action and donate. You can list your organization on YouTube's nonprofit channel and add call-to-action overlays on your videos to drive viewers to donate. Need help analyzing your website traffic and marketing effectiveness? Google Analytics is a free tool that will give you rich insight and help you increase the number of people that visit and donate to your site. Google Analytics can be invaluable to many people in your organization, such as development directors, marketing staff, and your web team. There are many other tools that can help you reach more donors and raise funds, like Google Checkout, where you can process credit card donations with no transaction fee, Google Sites to create a free website, and Website Optimizer, where you can figure out the best landing pages to turn site visitors into donors. To get started, apply for Google for Nonprofits today.
And we're back here live on the Nonprofit Coach with Ted Hart. Today our page two expert is Rob Mitchell from the Atlas of Giving. And Rob, you sort of gave us a hint before we took that quick break that maybe the ship is going to start slowing down here. What's 2014 going to look like?
Well, keep in mind that our forecast, first of all, is updated monthly, and it changes as conditions change. So what I'm about to say will change next month. And the other thing that's important to realize is that at the Atlas, we forecast a rolling 12 months in advance. And so the numbers that we have forecast through September of next year, there's good news and bad news. The good news is that the early part of the year, January, February, March, and to a lesser degree, April, will actually be better giving than in the same months last year or this in 2013. So there will be some increases in those months, but they won't be as dramatic as the increases that have been experienced in 2013. And then starting in May, what we're currently showing is that starting in May, on a month, you know, on a year-to-year comparison by month, that giving will not be as good in May, June, July, August, and September of 2014. Now, the difference is not a dramatic difference, but it's not flat either. So it's important, especially for those who have a fiscal year that starts in January of this year and are planning their budgets right now, to take this forecast into mind. And then
right.
to check
and,
back
and of
with,
course, you break down by sector, but is there a a sort of average or median rate of growth that you might see as reasonable for the average charity looking at 2014 or forecasting to 2014?
There is. What we're looking at for the next 12 months is a growth rate, an average growth rate of 3.3% for the next 12 months.
Which is dramatically lower than the current pace that we're on. But we're on a path that looks quite robust. But do you have a year-end 2013 also average?
Yes.
You think it will sail into December 31st on?
What we're going to, nationally, considering all sectors and sources and states, what we're currently forecasting for the calendar year of 2013 is total growth of 11.9%.
So this is a dramatic shift. While still growing, you are anticipating that nonprofits should certainly be strategically saving and strategically preparing for a pullback, but is this regional at all, or is this we're looking at only national numbers?
These are just national numbers. They're not dramatically different by state. Obviously, some states have issues that others don't. Michigan is one that comes to mind because of what has happened in Detroit and is happening in Detroit. But for the most part, I think you can, from a budgetary point of view, I think you can, you know, rather than sticking a wet finger in the air, you can look at this Atlas data and say, okay, this is a very good and reasonable way for us to plan for our budget for next year. And to put in a slight commercial here for the Atlas, we actually have a tool on our website whereby someone can go in and answer 6 questions and get a custom forecast for their organization. And it's very inexpensive, but it's for a budget planning tool or a fundraising promotion planning tool. It's really good.
And that gives insight. Does that break it down by sector so you can get it sort of hone in on your own numbers a little bit more than so just
absolutely
looking at the national? Okay.
So some of the questions that you ask, and you can do this in a matter of minutes, is where do your gifts come from by source? So what was your giving last fiscal year? What is your fiscal year? What percentage of your gifts come from individuals, from corporations, foundations, and bequest? And then what state do you operate in, or do you want to use a national number? And then what sector do you most closely identify with? And so those are mostly the questions that are asked. And when you provide those, then that gives us the ability to give you a forecast for your organization.
And did you say that that you need to register for that, or is there a charge for that? Or
there is a charge. It's less than $200.
Okay.
And with that, you're able to go back each month and update your forecast for 12 months.
And certainly,
so
that's
you don't have to. You don't have to do any more input. You just go back and check in, log in with your username, and you get an update on your forecast each month.
And certainly that's reasonable for anybody who needs to understand where forecasting is likely to take them. And with things being, as you said, so volatile, having access to that update information can really make the difference between making your budget or not.
It sure can. And then there are unexpected, unforecastable events that occur in life, and we keep tabs on those things as well. And for those who are following us regularly in the custom forecast, we can alert you as to what we think the impact of those kinds of things will be. So just as an example, the Asian tsunami from a few Decembers ago had a dramatic impact if you a positive impact on giving for relief organizations. It had a negative impact for the rest of the giving world. Things like the September 11th event, obviously, in that year, gifts were percolating along pretty well until the September 11th event, and then what we now know is that gifts pretty well shut down for 6 months, but then they came roaring back. That's the kind of information based on historical events that we can compare with, that we can provide people through the Atlas of Giving.
And that's atlasofgiving.com, which you provide this information. Who will the winners be in 2014?
The winners in 2014 are going to look very much like the winners in 2013, with a couple of exceptions. Disaster services organizations, human needs disaster services organizations, are going to do quite well, according to our forecast of 2014. Environmental organizations are going to continue to do very well. Donor-advised funds also will continue to do well. And again, our lagging sector is going to continue to be the church and religion sector.
Mm-hmm. What do you attribute the growth and success of donor-advised funds to? I mean, why now? And that's actually been for a couple of years. Why is that so popular, and why is that continuing to grow in the sector?
I think it's control. I used to say it was the, and this isn't really a good statement, but I'll say it anyway. I used to say it was the poor man's private foundation.
Sure.
Because it gives you the same kinds of controls that you would have in a private foundation, in terms of investing your money, watching it grow, and then strategically making charitable grants out of your funds. What we now know, in fact, I just read a study from Schwab Charitable that they recently completed a study that shows more and more private foundations are transferring their private family foundations are transferring their assets into donor advised funds because they're less expensive to operate.
Yep.
And produce all the same nice results that private foundations have produced.
And also do not require a minimum 5-year or 5% payout.
Exactly.
So I think that's absolutely right, that's part of why that's growing. We just have a couple minutes left here on the show. This time always goes by so fast with you, Rob, because your information is so timely and is so fascinating. Can you make sure that my listeners know how to reach you?
Sure. The best way is you can reach me at rob@atlasofgiving.com is my email address, and then you can always check in with the atlasofgiving.com, leave me a message there. So those are the best ways to reach me. I'm happy to engage in how we might be able to help anyone with their budget and their upcoming forecast.
That's terrific. And Rob, thank you for being our guest here. Just a reminder that we do have next week off, but that's a great time to catch up with the hundreds of wonderful podcasts that you'll find at tedhart.com. And then the week after that, November 5, we will be here live on The Nonprofit Coach with Linda Lysakowski, helping you learn how to fix that leaky bucket and to fix nonprofit fundraising. Thank you again, Rob, for being our guest here on The Nonprofit Coach. We'll catch you live in 2 weeks.
Thanks, Ted.
You've been listening to the Nonprofit Coach Radio Show with Ted Hart. Tell all your friends to check out our production schedule and download our iPod and iPad-friendly podcasts at tedhart.com. Thanks for listening to the Nonprofit Coach.